This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rothman back in the chair, and we continue our round of interviews with City-related topics during this mid-season break. This week, I welcome a writer, an editor, who has worked with some of the top names in sport during his career in publishing, print, and broadcast journalism. He now combines book projects with leading the horticulture team at a garden centre in London. You didn't think I'd say that on the Man City Show, did you? He was given the name Jairzinho by his Brazilian wife. I look forward to hearing more about that as well as we chat to Giles Elliott. Giles, welcome to the Man City Show. Good to see you.
Thank you, Nigel. Thank you for having me on.
Listen, the horticulture and books, I have to cover that off first. Help me understand, you know, why both of these? How's this come about? And which is your favourite, if you had a choice?
Well, that puts me on the spot. It would be books because that is my background and that's what I've always loved doing, along with football, obviously. Horticulture came about for one simple one-word reason, which would be redundancy. So I reshaped my life while I was working in publishing sports books for a large publishing company. I did evening classes at a local horticulture college and got my RHS qualifications and did voluntary work doing lots of gardening. And just thought, well, that was a bit of fun. And then come the redundancy, I decided to go up freelance on writing and editing sports books as I had been doing, and then work part-time in a garden centre in the afternoons.
Amazing. And I suppose I should really be asking, going from November into December, what should we be doing in our gardens at the moment then here, Giles? What should we be looking out for? Some tips, please, for the seven listeners to the Man City Show podcast.
It's a great time for planting shrubs and trees. The earth is still warm. Yes, if the weather's not too filthy, get out there, bit of tidying, so you don't have too many grubs and diseases over the winter. But most importantly, think about what would be a nice stocking filler, you know, that will warm me up over the Christmas period.
And do you know what? That could be a brand new book that's just been brought out called Pep Talk, because that's why you're here. Great book. As you say, fantastic stocking filler. Got it here. The words and wisdom of the Catalan master, Pep Guardiola. Why this book, Giles?
Right. Well, the title is, interestingly, it started out as a bit of a piss take. So I was thinking, you know, Pep Talk is the obvious title, and unfortunately it's been used on lots of books. But when I thought of the subtitle, The Words and Wisdom of the Catalan Master, I wanted to compile everything that Pep has said over the years. He mostly does press conferences only now, as you know. But then there's plenty of other material which you can dig up if you're diligently researching things. As an ex-journalist, I like digging. And, well, as a gardener, I like digging as well. I didn't think I'd get that link in. And so the idea basically came about to roll with the bandwagon of Man City's success and try and get a nice book which would entertain people, but also show some light on what goes on in Pep's head and mind, because he's a fascinating character.
And we will obviously talk about the book. That's why you're on the show. But you've always been into sport. I know you're not a City fan, so we probably need to get that out in the open for our listeners.
It's probably fairly obvious from my accent. I am a Londoner and therefore could not be a fan of any Manchester-related team. I'm from Wimbledon. I'm a Wimbledon boy, supported Wimbledon from Plough Lane when they first got into the Football League, saw them go out of existence, saw them reincarnated. And I always felt a certain affinity with City, going back to probably Peter Barnes' days. You know, I loved a flamboyant left winger in politics as well as in football. And I enjoyed the sky blue shirts. I was supporting City in the cup final against Tottenham.
1981.
Indeed, yes. Little did I ever think that Wimbledon would get to Wembley and play in a cup final and then would all go bust. And yes, but anyway, I was a huge football nut as a kid, was lucky enough to be forced into education as opposed to being a really mediocre footballer. So ended up working in the media by hook or by crook, and worked in football for a little while, sports journalism, and then as a books journalist, and then the two got combined.
And we'll say we will get onto the book. The one I notice you have written, and there are these famous sort of the little book of, and there's a little book of Man City, of course, that I'm sure we've all got already. And if you haven't got Pep Talk, this is the one you need, of course. But you wrote Klopp, the little red book of, the little red book of Klopp.
Right. So this is where it happened. I mean, and apologies to City fans and apologies to Pep for him, obviously, with the superior managerial track record coming second in the book ranking. But when I was thinking post-redundancy of a nice little book idea that I might be able to sell through, I had this idea of a Chairman Mao book of football. So it was the little red book. And then I just thought, oh, the little red book of Klopp. And, you know, he's a clown. And but also has a wide array of entertaining quotes across a whole realm of things, you know, from all his music references and the rest of it. So we just thought at the time I had an agent, which was useful, and he managed to sell it, as I'd failed to do as a publisher, to Macmillan. And the little red book of Klopp came out, 3 years ago now? And did very well, partly because Liverpool did the unthinkable and actually managed to win the Premier League, interrupting City's great run of success.
just the once, come on. It must be hugely disappointing to have such a record of winning only one in all those years he's been there. Well, what a failure he's been, let's be honest, compared with the great Pep Guardiola.
Well, one of my favourite parts of the book is where he's got these, there's various sort of, you know, I riff a bit on managerial rivalries, obviously with Jose Mourinho, when, you know, some of the press conferences that Pep did when he was at Barcelona, you know, you wouldn't believe the invective that he was, you know, I mean, he's known as being slightly reserved, possibly. He wasn't then. But the rivalry with Klopp, particularly last season, I think, when he came out with this, you know, oh, everyone supports Liverpool in this country. And then he was suddenly just like, well, I've just been told they don't all support Liverpool. And they've only won once in 30 years. It's just like, you know, come on, everyone, all the United fans, come, as long as you wear a blue shirt, you're welcome to celebrate with us. I thought it was lovely.
And how do you go about writing something like this? Because I think it's fair to say, I don't think you've met the man. He only does press conferences, as we've said. So you've never met Pep. But we've got, what, like 13 amazing chapters, you know, going from, as you say, managers to England, a bit about Barcelona, clearly a big section on City and players, and then a bit about motivation. I mean, it's just brilliant. I think the way you put it together, it's a really simple idea. But you never met the man. So how do you go about pulling something like this together?
I've never met the man. And I think even if you do meet the man, you know, I know a lot of, I've worked with a lot of, you know, the sort of the mainstream sports journalists. I did, I hate to mention this, I'll do it quietly, Gary Neville's autobiography, with Matt Dickinson, who ghostwrote that. And, you know, Matt was unable to get much closer to Gary than anyone else. And, you know, I went to Gary's house high above Bolton with interesting features. I won't say any more than that, in the house. Enormous sofas, I think. Even he tried to sit back at one stage and he was just like, where's the back of this sofa? I can't find it.
He's not Welsh, is he? I don't think he's Welsh, is he?
Yeah, I shouldn't try to do Manchester. Sorry. Apologies for that. I'll stay London. But yes, I don't think journalists can get particularly close to managers unless they're involved in writing books with them. So when you're doing, there's an exception with Pep because he's got, you know, someone like Marty Perrinau, you know, a Catalan journalist who's followed him through the Bayern Munich years, wrote a book about it. You know, he's able to talk to him as an English bloke who's worked in sport and publishing and wants to do a book on him. Even when I was doing the Klopp book, I had no intention of trying to get in touch with him and get his angle. What I'm trying to do externally is get a picture of a person and someone's psychology and motivation through what they've said on record and just going through it and sort of cutting and pasting and sort of going, hold on, you know, that's an odd thing to say. And then grouping stuff. I think the important thing I established early on was not to do it chronologically. And including bits that people may have forgotten about. So, you know, Pep did memorably play in Italy to no great success whatsoever. And there's a great quote as part of Pep Talk that says, you know, when there was a certain accusation against him, why would I need performance-inducing drugs to play against Piacenza? Which is, you know, one of my favourite quotes in the array of them. And, you know, there's just so much material out there. That as an ex-editor, or as an ongoing editor on a freelance basis, I like taking a mass of material and trying to find a shape to it.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Get all the latest World Cup headlines and bite-sized opinion on the World Cup Whistleblower Daily Podcast. Join Mark Smith and a rotating lineup of contributors from the world of football and entertainment as they dissect all the big talking points in one small package. Whether it's bringing you reaction to the games, fallout from a bad managerial decision, or just the latest scandal to engulf the host nation, the World Cup Whistleblower's Daily Podcast will be covering it concisely every weekday of the tournament. Search for the Whistleblowers wherever you get your podcasts.
And in terms of Pep and his sort of time in England, of course, he's been with City now longer than any other club, and we know he's just extended his contract again for
absolutely
another 2 years.
Very good news for authors of books about Pep Guardiola.
and for Man City fans as well.
We're reasonably
chuffed. Although my first thought was, oh, these publishers must be delighted. It was very much a secondary thought that, you know, he's going to be with us for another couple of years. That's exciting for us then.
I think most importantly, it's good for Pep himself because he seems a happier, more settled man. And as I went more through the book and more sort of reading up about City and getting back into City, because you do get completely taken over by the club during the process of this, you're just like, hold on, he's starting to relax here. He's starting to joke. He's starting to take the piss out of his players a little bit. Even De Bruyne at one stage, you know, I think was at Brighton when he was just like, no, he's not very good, is he? And then you see the quotes later when he's just going, unstoppable, brilliant, genius.
And thinking of him as a genius, I mean, he's brought so much to the Premier League. I mean, almost too much to talk about, whether it's playing out from the back, whether it's about the high press, whether it's just sort of keeping the ball. We played without a centre forward for a season and still won the league. You know, so, and he's reinvented this team sort of year after year. You know, people leave and yet it's reinvented the whole time. Is he there, in your view, in maybe the best manager the Premier League's ever sent? Can we go that far, or do you think there are others? I mean, Wimbledon have had some greats in the past, I realise, and they probably they're not fit to lace their boots, as they say. But in terms of...
Well, not the Norwegian in the Wellington boots, that's for sure. So, exactly.
So what about Pep? I mean, people talk about the drunk Scott from just outside Manchester who did a reasonable job. But is he the best? Or does he need to win Champions League?
Yeah, that's my favourite chapter in the book, because I open it with basically he compares the Champions League to the Queen. This was obviously written before events of this year, but you know, it is the overriding thing. And obviously, as an unscrupulous author who wants to his book to do well and City to do well, I'll join that there, then City winning the Champions League this season would be incredible. But let's face it, you know, they absolutely deserve to, from, as you say, the way they have reinvented the way that football gets played in this country. And I think the most important thing that will make him the great is actually not so much what he's done so far, the amount of titles, but the legacy he will leave with the younger players being brought through. Because, you know, I'm looking, is it 16 City players at the World Cup? You know, you're looking at some of the younger ones, and they're basically, you know, Julian Alvarez, this kind of thing. They're basically sort of saying, right, okay, I'm in there with a shout as well. And that I was reading a feature as well of the young, I forget his name, I'm sorry, the Spanish left back that you brought in, who didn't make the Spanish squad, and sort of saying, you know, he's regarding this as a bit of a challenge. He hasn't played yet, but he's just like, you know, okay, right, you know, I'm going to be working, because they'll be tired when they come back. You know, this is me, you know, I'm going to be challenging.
Are we talking about Sergio Gomez?
I am. You are talking about Sergio Gomez. Apologies for my terrible lack of knowledge there.
It's all right. if I'd not remembered, I would have been in serious trouble with our seven listeners, as I say. So what is it about? Yes, you're right. I mean, the Champions League is the monkey on our back, isn't it? Let's be honest. I always say to people, I'm asked this question all the time, what would you rather do? And it's always been, up until this point, it's been dominate your domestic league. But we've kind of won that quite a lot recently. Liverpool, as you say, had an odd season and just nicked it for that one season. But it is a knockout tournament, isn't it? And I think the best team always wins the Premier League. I'm not sure if the best team always wins the Champions League.
No, certainly not. I supported Malmo when they played against Nottingham Forest back in 78, 77, 79, something like that, because Malmo wore sky blue shirts. And I had, as I said, an affinity with Peter Barnes and anyone in sky blue shirt. But no, definitely the best team doesn't win the Champions League. You need luck and you need refereeing decisions. And part of the interest in, I hope, in the pep talk in that Champions League chapter is the reactions to the defeats to Spurs and various other ones. But also, I've actually taken the liberty on one spread of two pages to do one entire quote where he thanks past players from Joe Hart through to Sergio Aguero when City reached the final before they play against Chelsea, sort of saying this is down to the whole history of the club, the owners, the investment. He builds it up as this big, great thing, and it's an enormous, great quote. And then they lose to Chelsea, of all people, and don't get me started on Chelsea. So
no, well, we don't talk about them. And I was there in Porto. I witnessed
it. Of course,
it myself,
you were.
So yeah. There we are. Listen, I've got the book in front of me. So I just thought we could just go through just a couple of the highlights, if you like, and just pick out some of your favourites, I suppose, just to give people a flavour of what they're going to receive in their stocking this Christmas. So on the first section, you just call it football, which I thought was an interesting. You know, some of those are a bit more specific, you know, the Champions League and so on. But we've got football as kind of the first chapter.
Well, he's known as, or you know, you can call him a philosopher manager. And I think that's something that he actually develops his whole character around. He likes to be seen as, you know, someone who thinks about football to a greater extent and lives and breathes it. So it's just Pep on football. So the first quote in the book there is, football is emotions. And this is, you know, to me, the heart of, you know, Pep's things that if you don't have the emotional aspects, and let's face it, he did get more and more emotional as last season went on, and it was fantastic to see. Then, you know, football is emotions. It's tactics, definitely, but it's also emotions. He's known as the tactician, but no, it's from the heart. And if you're not playing from the heart, and if you don't want to run for him, you don't have a place in this team.
In the managers section, which is next, you talked about Mourinho, but of course, Johan Cruyff gets quite a few mentions as well, of course. Sort of Cruyff and Pep, an interesting mix there. Some good quotes in there about Cruyff.
Nice quotes in there. With just a look he gave you, shivers that could chill the blood. Obviously, Cruyff was known as a hard taskmaster, but I think that Pep has learnt from that. You know, he knows when he's got to lay down the law. But also, I think, importantly, he learnt humility. So then we see at the start of his managerial coaching career, really, if we call it in Spain. So he's starting with Barca B. He's starting coaching the kids and knowing that he's got to work his way up. Obviously, he did that very quickly. And I think one of the accusations just on a tangent here that riles me about the way that people can criticize Pep is sort of saying, well, you know, I could have done that at Bayern Munich, you know, because they're the best team, and I could have done that at City. It's just like, footballers, in my again, sort of at one step away from the arena, you know, they are a difficult bunch to manage, I would imagine. I've met a few. And to be able to do it in different cultures, and especially now with a massively multicultural squad and knowing who to leave out, and to be able to do that, I think it's some achievement. Managing does not look easy to me.
And that's something I think about a lot. You know, I go back even further than you, so the late 60s and that great team of Manchester City who won the league in 68, the FA Cup in 1969, the European Cup Winners' Cup in 70, the League Cup in 70. You know, it was, we dominated and we were a fantastic team. But I think everybody was from Manchester. I know that I'll be corrected now. Tony Book was from Bath. I do know that, but age 33. But hey, you know, but it was essentially Manchester lads who got on the bus and turned up. But these multi-million pound megastars with egos the size of Gary Neville's sofa, it's just kind of how on earth to keep them all motivated, to know they're not going to play in, week out. I mean, that just is an amazing skill, isn't it?
And also to develop someone like Vincent Kompany into what is looking like a very good coach at Burnley, so that, you know, he's taken on some lessons and he's, you know, probably been a favoured son, but at the same time he's been told, right, you know, he must have got on the phone to Pep and thought, you know, I better start somewhere that's windswept and very cold in the winter, as Turf Moor probably still is. I used to go there a bit. Going back to your thing about local players, though, I was involved in a book with Dave Bassett and Wally Downs called The Crazy Gang. Again, it was a title that was fairly simple to come up with. And, you know, the Wimbledon story, obviously, back in those days was lots of local players. But, you know, they were completely unmanageable until Bassett came in and knocked their heads together. And his tactics, you know, he was still, there's, you know, go on rants about, you know, how the long ball is the only way to do things. Which takes us nicely to Pep and tactics, actually. So to me, that's one of the key to the chapters there. So we've got Pep on tactics, which is slightly later on in the book. Here's my
chapter six, I think.
Very good. I don't think we even have chapter numbers, do we? But there we go. Obviously, he talks about tiki-taka to a certain extent and you know, disses it and is saying that's not, you know, what he's about. But here's my favourite quote. Sorry, it took me a little while to come to it. Right. Ideas belong to everyone, and I have stolen as many as I could. I came across that one and I just thought, hold on, you know, this is someone who's a self-proclaimed sometimes genius, definitely acclaimed by others as a genius, and he's just sort of saying, no, it's just, you know, just take any ideas that you can from wherever. And obviously Cruyff was a mentor and, but you know, he would, I think, have taken something, is this heresy, from Klopp about some of the gegenpressing and the really high press on things in certain situations. It's affected the whole of the way that we watch football. And, you know, watching the World Cup at the moment, you know, you're watching the teams who don't do any kind of high pressing, no names mentioned, but, you know, our native country will be one of them. You're looking at them and there's just no life in it. And, you know, when you've got that buzz about a team and, you know, watching Brazil against Switzerland suddenly clicking into life when they use the bench. And I think this is another thing where Pep has been very influential, of actually just sort of saying, right, it's not working, sometimes by his own admission because of his own mistakes in initial team selection, not mentioning the ch-ch-ch.
You're a guest on this show. Behave yourself.
It's a fascinating thing. You know, to me, this is where it all coalesces and comes together. And, you know, he gets it absolutely bang on right. And then with his legacy, yes, best manager ever.
Glad we got that out of you in the end. Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. The other thing that I thought out when I was reading that, so I was looking for examples of him having a go at his players. And you think of the Mourinhos of this world and Conte and Klopp, who have been known to come out and say, I don't remember, and I may have missed it, but I don't actually remember Pep ever standing there and say, yeah, they were shit tonight. They didn't run hard enough or they didn't pass well enough. It's always he never ever criticizes his players in public. Now, what he does behind those,
I'm sure it's
in the locker room, as I don't like him calling it, but he insists on doing it in the locker room. I'm sure he does, but publicly, he can be a little bit morose and a bit monosyllabic with the press, which is also a bit I'm not sure I like about him. He could be a bit more generous with his time, but there's me criticising the great Pep Guardiola. You may have a view on that. He's not the most friendly with them, is he? Is that an issue for you as well? So tackle those two issues, if you would, Giles, for us. So the friendliness towards the press and that rather kind of brusque sort of negative attitude he has towards them. And then this issue of kind of his players and the way he seems to protect them. Would they be two fair observations? Would you agree with both of those? Do you have a different view?
Yes, no. I mean, behind closed doors, taking the second point first, I'm absolutely sure he berates people. I have no idea what he would have said to Benjamin Mendy. But in public, he comes out and says, you know, I don't know the character of this boy when, you know, he's on trial. So, you know, again, that is the prime example of an absolute refusal because the team is a unit and he wants people to know that, you know, he has got them together, fighting together. When he made his famous utterance that he would only talk to the press in press conferences, obviously it's going to piss a lot of people off. But then you're right, he stands up there and he looks as though he's being made to do this against his will, even though it's an absolute broadcasting rights requirement, Premier League, Champions League, whatever competition you want. You have to go out there and do your post-match interviews, and if not, you get fined. It's a basic thing. And yes, he looks grudging about it. On the other hand, you know, he's a family man. I hope I've managed to get that through in the book. There's a nice quote about his grandfather, who he says was the only Espanyol fan in the village where he grew up, and that's almost like a homage to him, as well as sort of saying, you know, what was he thinking? So there is this sort of dual-edged side to Pep, and I would imagine, like any good manager in any walk of life, not just in football, he'll use the good cop, bad cop when necessary in order to motivate players.
But just exploring this for a bit with you, Giles, you're a man who's spent a lot of time writing books as a journalist, etc., and as well as looking to tidy up the garden this time of year for all the reasons you gave.
Mostly selling Christmas trees at the moment, actually.
Oh, very good. Oh, good. Do we get any good bargains? Well, most of our listeners, sadly, are too far away from where you are, but ho-hum. I'm sure the good other Christmas trees are available, I'm
Indeed,
sure.
Indeed, yes, all over the place.
This thing about the press, it's the one thing that does bother me a bit, that he will be remembered for. He's successful. He's dominated, as I said, the Premier League. He has reinvented football. He's just worked with the owners. He's just gets Manchester City. He's got the absolute love of all of the supporters. But when he gets in that sort of situation where he knows he's got to do it week in, week out, he could take a slightly different view. And maybe that's part of the charm, I don't know. But it doesn't sit particularly comfortably with me. I'd rather see him being a bit more generous with his time and having a bit more of a smile on his face, you know, particularly when we win. And it's just, you get the impression he's doing it and he's not really enjoying it, doesn't really want to be there. It doesn't sit very comfortably with me. Does that make sense?
My sense is that that is going to change now, the new contract. It's a frustration whenever you compile a book of this nature together with quotes over what you think is an entire playing and coaching career. And then, of course, you know, you have the deadline for publishing and then other things come afterwards and you go, oh, sod it, that would have been good in the book. So there's going to be, you know, some interesting material there always. I think he's going to relax more into it. He's said that if he's not enjoying it, and I've got quotes in the book, if he's not enjoying what he's doing, he'd rather be in the Maldives underneath the coconuts, though there's not enough golf courses in the Maldives. But, you know, if he's enjoying it, he's going to continue it. If he's not going to enjoy it, he doesn't want to do it anymore. He's clearly enjoying it. And I think personally, you get to know people even, you know, through just trawling through, well, books, the internet, whatever. You get to know something about the person, I hope. And I think, you know, he's going to be going, yes, now I'm going to enjoy this period of my career because it's going to be at City. Let's not forget, and it's in the book, he left Barcelona under a massive cloud, you know, completely fell out with them and, you know, wanted to get, you know, as far away as possible, went out to New York. And, you know, he Barcelona will always be his club, but really, I think maybe City are running it pretty close.
I'm sure. He talks about personality a lot. A lot of the quotes include the word personality. He describes it, whether that's the language, but obviously it's not his first language, English, but he does talk about having the right personality and players having the right personality. What do you read into that?
He wants everyone to be like him. There's a quote about what he wants the ideal midfielder to be like, and he's basically just talking about himself. The man has an ego. There's nothing wrong with that if you're in his line of work.
And your granddad, Bill, would have liked Pep, you say in the book as well, which I mean, so what was it about? What does that mean? You don't like him particularly, or why?
No, it means I absolutely love Pep. Sorry for talking over you there. My granddad, Bill, was a great influence on me, partly because he wrote a really obscure book on a Greek place called Monemvasia. And I always looked at it on his bookshelves and I was just like, my God, my granddad wrote a book. And I was just like, I wonder if I'll ever write a book. And obviously he died quite a long time ago. But when the Little Red Book of Clock came out, I just went, yeah, I wrote a book. And my original acknowledgement to my grandfather Bill in this book was 2-1 to the grandson. But my dad actually told me today that he did write a second book and it got rejected by the publishers. And so thank God I didn't say 2-1 to the grandson on that one. My grandfather Bill was a lovely bloke. We sat and watched the 1978 World Cup final together. And he basically said to me, whatever you do in life, remember this, the ticker tape coming down, Mario Kempes, Argentina, Holland. And you know, I was just transfixed. I was, 10 years old? And I was just like, my God, this is unlike anything else on television. I don't want to watch anything else ever.
And it was those images. I think I can remember South Africa. I can think of the noises from the South African
World
Cup.
Well, the vuvuzelas, yeah.
Exactly. But it, from that World Cup, as you say, the ticker tape that sort of came out, it happened, I think, would it still be the first division in those days? I think it probably would have been, wouldn't it, when it came back? I think people tried it, but it wasn't quite the same on a soggy Burnden Park. It didn't quite work quite the same way, I don't think. But
Soggy bog roll. Yeah, no, not really.
Exactly.
Just on a final, just to say something else again about myself and my background, one of the books I did edit was with Ozzy Ardiles, going back again to City Spurs final. Mm. And I had the pleasure, his English was still hilarious. And it really, and it was just like
he was Welsh as well, was he? There's a theme here. We've got Christmas trees and sorting your shrubs out, as well as Welsh accents. Right.
And your perennials. Anyway, I was lucky enough to sit in a restaurant with him, and his agent left, and Ozzy basically sort of said, you know, I won't do the accent. He said, shall we have one more bottle of wine? And I was sitting there just going, do I want another bottle of red wine with Ozzy Ardiles as he tells me about life in Argentina in the 1970s? It's just some things in my life have worked out well. When you're in the pouring rain, lugging 1,000 Christmas trees around, you think, oh, this is an interesting life. And Pep's is definitely more interesting than mine, but I'm glad to have been a bit of a part of it.
And before we finish, the last chapter you call Life, just help our listeners understand a little bit about that sort of final chapter in life, some lovely things in there.
Well, it's bookended, literally. So you start on Pep on football, but, you know, it's Pep on life, and life is more important than football. Let's face it. I think we've all come to understand that. If not over the past couple of years, then, you know, certainly we should have done. There's one quote that says, I like the same as everybody, wine, reading, family, which I think probably says more about Pep than anything about football. But there's also another one that says, perfection does not exist, but you have to look for it anyway. I think he's doing himself down a little bit anyway, but that is what he's all about to me. You know, he's striving for perfection, and he's so wound up in it that sometimes, as you say, it aggravates other people because he's not expressing himself to other people, and he's a difficult person to be around because he's a perfectionist. And when perfection does happen, and you can sit back and look at that, whatever the De Bruyne's goal, you know, after, you know, moves down the pitch, and even some of the players who've now gone, and he's really, you know, generous towards them, like Gabriel Jesus, and you just kind of think, you know, well, you know, he's turned everyone surely into a better player, and isn't that the job of a manager?
Amazing. Listen, it's a fabulous book. It is Pep Talk, The Words and Wisdom of the Catalan Master. How can we get hold of this? If you want it on your Christmas stocking list, where do people get hold of it then, Giles?
Well, I'd like to think bookshops would stock it, but increasingly these days, I think if you go online, you'll probably find the easiest route to finding it. But yeah, certainly in Manchester, I'd like to think there's the odd branch stocking it. There was a nice feature in 442 magazine as well, recommending it as something to read while the games aren't on during the World Cup. So I can heartily recommend that. So what you meant to say, available in all good bookshops, I think.
It sounds good to me, and it is a great read. Listen, Pep Talk, The Words and Wisdom of the Catalan Master. What a joy and a pleasure. Giles Elliott, thank you very much for joining us on the Man City Show.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.